Range Women Oral Project Number 2, on May 14, 1985. Anita, would you give me your name and your address?
Anita Stewart Lopatin, 307 South Dithridge Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15213.
And your birthday, please?
It's March 9th, 1926.
All right, now Lou's going to check and see if it's working right. Okay, Anita, we can relax now. Oh, we want to start out by you telling us about your immediate family, about your father, your mother, your grandmother, how far back you can remember on your, you know, ancestral.
My grandfather and grandmother, Stewart, the parents of my father, came to this country as very young people. My grandfather came when he was 9 years old, supposedly to meet his father here in Pittsburgh. But in the time that his father that was coming here, the great-grandfather was on a ship going back to Poland.
So they missed each other.
They missed each other, and there was this 9-year-old young man here in this city all by himself. And he sold matches to make a living.
In Pittsburgh?
Uh-huh. Came directly to Pittsburgh. And interestingly enough, one of the things that I did find out just recently was that he lived in Saul Weisberg's house.
Where's Saul Weisberg's house?
Saul Weisberg's house was on the hill somewhere.
Is that right? Okay.
Now, he came to meet with his father.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why was his father here in Pittsburgh? What brought him here?
That is the one thing that we do not know why he came here. He did not come to family. So unless it was the suggestion of a job, or they were not allowing enough people, more people to stay in New York, I don't know that.
About when was this? About what year would you say?
My grandfather died 5 years ago at the age of 96.
So where was he living when he died at 96?
Here in Pittsburgh. And
so that's right. 7 years ago he died now?
In 5 years ago, 1980.
Mm-hmm.
So he was here in the 1880s?
We'll figure it out. We got our computer when we get home.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So, and then he's.
My father was born in 1905. And he was born here in Pittsburgh. Both of my parents are native born Pittsburghers. Now, all of my father's brothers and sisters were born here in Pittsburgh. But on my mother's side of the family, she was the first child born in Pittsburgh. She has one younger brother. They were both born here. But my parents were childhood sweethearts on Locust Street.
Where's Locust Street?
Do you know where the city steps are? It's Duquesne University now.
That's up on the bluff.
That's right.
You call it the bluff. Yeah.
But they were married on my father's 19th birthday.
Well, Grandfather Stewart, he was here at age 9.
Sold matches.
Were there other members of the family, any brothers or sisters come over after him or anything like that?
After him. He brought everybody over.
Like how many? Did he also bring them to Pittsburgh?
Only two others came to Pittsburgh. Only one other stayed here. Now, my father's name was Charles Benjamin Stewart. His great uncle, this is my grandfather's brother, one of the people he brought, was also Charles Stewart. whose family is still, his wife and his daughter are still here in Pittsburgh. You know Phyllis Goldstein? And the other
so she's
Mrs. Charles Stewart. She's not really my cousin. She's my father's cousin.
I see, second cousin.
Yeah. But my grandfather did bring two brothers who stayed here. He brought the rest of his family to the United States, and this was always the fascinating thing to me. Some of them couldn't get into the United States, and they went to Mexico. Some ended up in New York, but my grandfather never saw some of them, and he had no desire to see any of them. He took care of them. He sent them money. And this was something I could never understand.
And they never settled in Pittsburgh.
No.
They settled everywhere.
It was like he had done his duty, and
mm-hmm.
he kept on sending them money and kept in contact with them. But most of them, they never saw each other again.
I think that is not atypical. I think the same thing happened with our family.
Something that I say that they've overcome emotion when they've gone through such a hard, rough
yeah.
life. Something I can't
something,
understand.
Something, and I could never.
Remember, the world was much larger. There was no communications. There was no transportation.
That's
yeah.
right.
Okay, so he came, and then he had your father, and so your father married your mother.
At age 19.
What kind of schooling did your father have?
My father and mother both graduated from Fifth Avenue High School.
Where did your grandfather come from? Was it Poland? Did you think?
It depends on which day of the week it was, whether it was Poland or Russia.
I see. It was
They like to say they came from Russia.
Yeah, but
what town was it? Did you see that?
Yes, I do know. I can't think of it now. I'll look that up for you. I'll look that up.
Now, that's on your father's side. What about your mother's side?
My mother's family definitely came from Poland.
What was their name?
Goldman. Harry Goldman was.
And how far back can you remember with them coming?
Well, the thing that I do know about them is my mother was the first child born here in this country, and she was born in 1908.
To her parents.
There were seven children in that family, and the first five were born in Poland.
Brought over by her parents.
Brought over. The parents, they all came together,
mm-hmm.
and my mother was the first child born here.
So your mother came over with five children?
Mm-hmm.
No, my grandmother came with five children. My mother was the first one born here.
And your grandmother was Goldman.
Right.
Harry Goldman. All right. Did your grandfather come with your grandmother?
Yes.
What
did
he do?
They all came together. He was a peddler and a mashgiach and a shechet and all that. And my grandmother Goldman was a very orthodox lady. She was one of the washers of the dead. Much to my horror, I found that out when she died. My God, that was a shock to me.
Mm-hmm.
They never talked about it.
Mm-hmm. The Chevra something.
The Chevra Mishnayas.
And where did they come from?
They came from Poland, and I better get the city straight for you.
Yes, sir. At what did your grandfather Goldman, he just was a mashgiach and everything like that?
He was a peddler.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, my father tells the story of when my father first started to work for his father, and in a horse and wagon he used to go to deliver paper.
What kind of paper?
The Samuel S. Stewart Company paper dealers. Is still in existence
today. Who was Samuel S. Stewart?
Samuel S. Stewart was my grandfather, my father's father.
He started from the matches, he went to the paper.
At first he became a tobacconist. Tobaccoist? Tobacconist?
We'll check it out. Then he became a paper company.
Then he went into the paper business. And by the way, he had one of the first trucks in Pittsburgh.
And your father worked for him, delivering on a horse and wagon?
Worked for him. But he tells stories of he used to find my grandfather Goldman. This was when he was a kid yet, and it was before my mother and dad were married. He used to find them in the snow with his pack on his back and places like Coriopolis and Moon Run. And my dad tells stories about Forbes and Murray when it wasn't paved, when he used to take the horse and wagon there as a kid.
Okay. You don't know where they lived or anything like that?
Yeah.
Where they lived?
They lived when they first came. My mother was raised on Aaron Street.
A-A-E-R-I-N.
You're just like me. I always took it for granted it was a Jewish Aaron.
I was quite grown
before we went to find Aaron Street, and it was the most. I stood there with my mouth hanging open. First of all, I had met about 20,000 people that lived on that street at the same time as my mother did. So I took it for granted it was the Jewish Aaron, just as you did, A-A-R-O-N. And then I discovered that the street not only is not wasn't Jewish, it's E-R-I-N, but the street, I think, was like two blocks long. Where were all these thousands of people
living?
What
part of the city? In one house is borders.
Sure, they were on the hill. Aaron Street's right near Dinwiddie Street.
Oh.
The first knowledge of my father's family that I have of their living was Locust Street.
Do you have an idea of when your grandmother's family came over? Your grandparents?
Well, that's why I said it had to have been in the early 1900s because my mother was the first child that was born.
1907. Because I was pregnant coming over, they all were.
Yeah.
And added to the bundle.
Yeah.
Okay. Now they got married at 19 after graduating from
high school.
And what did they do?
My father had to go out into the big wide world first and earn his living without working with his father, for his father. They moved to Beachview. And my father worked for Arbuckle's. It was a grocery. What?
Coffee
and groceries, yeah. And then he did go to work for his father.
Tell us a little bit about that paper company.
Well, if I tell you about the paper company, I can tell you a lot about my grandfather.
All right.
My grandfather was very Americanized, a very big man. Powerful, domineering, warm.
You mean big in stature?
Yes.
You know, so
yes.
Big in
but
reputation too.
Yes. Very warm person, a very giving person, but a very, very honorable person. And when the unions first started to form, he was very much against them because he was losing control of his own business. They manufactured paper in the beginning and sold it, the paper, the wrapping paper, the boxes, that kind of stuff.
They manufactured here in the city?
Yes.
Where?
On Samson Street in the north side. Their first place was on First Avenue. Then they moved to Samson Street, where they were, wait, I'm getting ahead of myself with the story with the unions.
Okay.
First the union told my grandfather that he had to hire certain people in certain hours, and he went along with that, but not real happily because somebody was telling him how to run his business. And then they told him, what he could sell his merchandise for, and he wasn't very happy with that. And then one fine day they called him up and they told him he was manufacturing too many paper boxes and he had to stop doing that. And my grandfather went to the second floor and threw a master switch and stopped manufacturing boxes. And that machinery sat. And that was in the late 30s or the early 40s. that he threw that master switch, and just as everything was going halfway through the baths and everything else, it sat till there was a fire in Jody is 30. You have to excuse me.
Yeah,
Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah or Yom Kippur. It must have been 33 years ago.
1949.
There was a fire, and that building burned
1952,
down.
1952.
Yeah, Jody was born in 49. That building burned down. But at that particular point in time, when my grandfather threw that master switch, he became a jobber, and a very successful jobber.
He quit manufacturing.
He quit manufacturing. And then came World War II, and the whole rest of the world made millions of dollars, but my grandfather refused to raise his prices to make lots and lots of money. I mean, he did very well, and I don't mean to say that he didn't, but when everybody else was raising their prices so high because there was so much money around, he refused to do that. And it was, I mean, I used to sit and listen to the discussions, and he said never, never, never would he do that.
This was when he was jobbing, not manufacturing.
Jobbing. Yeah, he had gone out of the jobbing business.
He went out of manufacturing.
I mean, he went out of the manufacturing business. That had to
before
have been
the war.
Oh, yeah, right before the war started.
And then in other words, your father came in the jobbing end of it.
No.
He was still
married. No, because my father and mother were married in 24. So he had been working with them for quite a while.
Was your dad the only one in the business with your grandfather?
I have an aunt who was still running the business, Ida Stewart.
What's the name of the business now?
Samuel Stewart and Company.
And they're still jobbing.
What about the his religious affiliation? I know that the background was strong.
Very strong. My father and mother
were Orthodox and
conservative.
And what were their affiliations as far as synagogues?
My father and mother were founders of the Bethel Synagogue in Beachview. They were one of the founding fathers. That's another funny story, because I think they gave me an ice cream cone to stop me from crying at the laying of the cornerstone.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I have met about 30 million people that knew I cried and ruined that whole ceremony.
Uh-huh. And do you know what year that was?
It had to have been 28 to the 27, something like that, because I was born in 26.
Okay, and they founded that.
They were founding fathers there. Now they stayed in Beachview until I was 11, and at that point the Beachview community was moving out to Mount Lebanon. And it was an interesting time in history of that community that was out there, because the people who were moving to Mount Lebanon were really moving there to become assimilated Jews. That was their aim. You were making a choice at that time. You were either going to take your children and go to what many people considered the ghettoization of Squirrel Hill, or you would move to Mount Lebanon and become a Yankee, so to speak. My parents made the decision that they wanted me to be raised with Jews, so that was the point at which we moved to Squirrel Hill.
Where'd you move to?
To Ebdy Street. 6378 Ebdy Street. And I went to Colfax for 2 months, then graduated, because you went to Alderdice in seventh grade.
You said Colfax 2 months?
Yeah, I was in sixth grade.
Oh,
and
I see.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I graduated and went to Alderdice in the seventh grade. And after about 2 months of my being at Alderdice, I remember my father wanted to move back to Beachview. Because he said he brought a little girl to Squirrel Hill, and all of a sudden he had a lady. He didn't want a lady so fast.
Well, do you have any brothers or sisters?
I have two sisters. We are 5 years apart.
You mean one sister's 5 years and then the other one 5 years?
Each one of us is 5 years mm-hmm. apart. My mother always said she waited till we had our tonsils taken out and went to kindergarten, mm-hmm. and then she had another baby.
Mm-hmm. Now they don't take out tonsils. You
that's right.
That's something.
But once my father moved to Squirrel Hill, he became extremely active in the Beth Shalom, where he did everything, including being the president.
Is it Beth Shalom?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You said before that your grandmother was the one with the...
The Orthodox one. My grandmother Goldman.
And what affiliations was there, and when did they change to conservative? Or was it your on your mother's side that they were Orthodox, and on your grandmother's side, and on your grandfather's side they were not as quite? Or?
My mother's family was the most Orthodox. And in fact, as I go back, and I really don't remember the affiliation of my grandfather Stewart before he went to Beth Shalom too. And he moved to Squirrel Hill and went to Beth Shalom before we did. That's my only remembrance of him. My grandfather Goldman, I remember him going to, they called it the Polish Shul up on the hill. And I have remembrances of that. It was very Orthodox, because I have remembrances of that for bar mitzvahs, sitting up on the balcony and throwing the candy
mm-hmm. separate
at the bar mitzvah boy.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we're going to quit on this because it's the end of the tape, I think, and change that so you can take a rest for a few minutes.
Okay.
Just about 30 minutes. Okay? I'm going to go wee.
You may.
You left off where Grandpa Goldman was very active in the Polish shul, and you remember them throwing candy at the bar mitzvah boys from the balcony.
Right.
Okay. And then you went there while your father was at Beth Shalom?
Right.
I see. Because they were, like, the Stewarts were less Orthodox than the Goldmans.
Right. The Stewarts were much more Americanized.
I see.
My grandfather Goldman never spoke English real well.
What do you mean by Americanized? Did they have Gentile friends or not?
They
kosher kitchen.
They had my grandfather Stewart had a they had a kosher home, but they didn't speak Yiddish. They spoke English, and my grandfather Stewart, as I told you, was a very large and very handsome man, and he dressed as the American. He never wore the title of the Gariner, so to speak. He came here so young that he was only 9 years old when he came.
Okay, he's Americanized. Did he go to the Ikes up on the hill? Or
My mother speaks of the Ikes much more than my father does. My mother was there as a mm-hmm. child. I suspect my father didn't spend much time there. Because if you remember correctly, the Ikes was basically founded as an agency of Americanization. Learned to take a bath, learned to mm-hmm. read and write and speak and use mm-hmm. money, that kind of stuff.
How about other organizations like Hebrew Free Loan or something? Did that any involvement?
My father was in every one of them. And my grandfather.
Your grandfather.
Yeah.
And the
Hebrew Free Loan and the Burial Society and the Lechemoneum, and my father and my grandfather were both involved with all of them.
Not Concordia and Rudolf Shalom.
No. Not at all. That wasn't for us.
Okay.
In fact, I was very, very, very grown. Even as a kid growing up, I was never conscious. My parents did a marvelous job on me of making me proud of what I was. I suspect I was out of college before I realized that there was a status-conscious group at Rudolf Shalom.
Mm-hmm.
That came as a very big shock to me, because I had friends at Temple and and at the Orthodox shul and at the conservative synagogue all the time. And I never knew there was anything different about us. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know whether that was smart or dumb of me, but it wasn't until I was very, very grown that became evident to me.
All right, now that's when I want to get into like your economic, socioeconomic level, like where you...
We were comfortable middle class. Now, I understand that during the Depression, when I was very young, my father held two jobs, but I was never conscious of it.
Did your mother ever go to work?
Never.
Did she go to any other school? Or?
No.
And you don't know what her activities were, social or...?
Well, she was very involved in organizations, in the Sisterhood, and in Children's Aid, and in Hadassah. It was interesting to me. Her organizations were not National Council of Jewish Women and the Hospital Aid Society. Her organizations were the grassroots. My grandma Goldman was very active at the baby home. I remember as a child they used to take me there when they fed the children.
That's the orphan home, Gusky?
Yeah.
They had the Jewish Home for Babies and Children.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's what it was.
Mm-hmm. What about the, who were in this home? Orphans?
Mm-hmm.
And did your grandmother or grandpa ever live with you in the same house?
No.
They never lived in the same. You never had that. And you remember, like, your mother and father, were they disciplinarians or...?
My mother was the disciplinarian.
Mm-hmm.
My father... If I would tell you, I never heard him raise his voice, except when I said the word lousy. He was a delightful man, a kind. He was a very proper man. I don't think I ever saw him in his underclothes.
Did you live with your grandparents at any time?
Never.
Your parents made a home as soon as they were married.
Yes.
They left.
Yes, that's when they moved to Beachview.
Mm. And your grandparents stayed where?
My grandparents lived on Locust Street.
On the Puff.
And my Goldman grandparents and my Stewart grandparents must have at that time been on Tilbury Street already.
There we had that. Mm. Okay, now can you remember anything that was going on in Pittsburgh when you were growing up, like politically, about the mayors or anything like that? What was happening when you were on Ebbsy Street or...
Well, I do remember a couple of things.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure about politically, but I remember things, like I remember when we bought a brick to build the university. And I remember when my father took me to see the pillars for Mellon Institute as they were coming into the city, because those were the largest single pillars that were ever made in the world at that time. And my father always took us to see anything that might be history. He made a point of that. And I remember his taking me to see the flood in 1936. He took us to see all that water.
Where was the flood?
Downtown.
Downtown, the north side.
He took us to the Beachview side, the St. Patrick's Day flood. He took us to the Beachview side because that's where we were living then.
Mm-hmm.
They brought the water on the truck so we would have water.
Your father was jobbing. In what area did he cover? Was it tri-state area? Or?
No, he didn't go any place overnight. It was around...
He had enough to keep him busy right here in the Pittsburgh area.
He came home late, but he always came home.
Ah, yeah.
You know, there's another piece of my father's and mother's history that might... play a part. My father belonged to a club called Camp Suleiman.
Help us stop.
I mean, it was the Suleiman Club, Suleiman.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a camp. That's how I got to be such a camper.
All right. Where was it?
It started out at Crystal Beach in Castle Shannon,
mm-hmm.
and then moved to Piney Fork.
Mm-hmm. That's the one with Harrop.
Who?
Harrop.
Lyman.
Harry Krieger and Joe Greenberg and Nate Turk and they had this, I was, Solimon, by the way, means South Hills in Greek. That's where the club was founded, in the South Hills. And my father was the only one that was married at that time. And I was their only child. They all raised me. And they all took me to camp with them. And they had to, when I got to be just about 6 years old, they all looked at each other one day. None of the rest of them were married, except my father. They all looked at me one day, and they decided they had to build a women's division to this camp because I couldn't sleep with all of them anymore.
That's funny. Do you know anything? What else do you remember about the ethics and stuff of those times that were different than today?
I think we'll stop there.